You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
We're all just killing time until tomorrow at noon. And my favorite way to kill time right now, reading about Trump supporters getting arrested, a little LOL scrolling about the January 6th insurrection, a little too bad, so sad scrolling, some bitter ironies, some not so bitter ironies. It's been taking my mind off the near massacre of our elected representatives as they were officiating the results of a free and fair election, which the rioters hoped would be our last. It's also been taking my mind off the damage Trump still might do in his final hours as president. Anyway, I have particularly enjoyed stories about rioters, traitors, insurrectionists, being turned in by angry exes. Like Larry Brock, one of the guys photographed carrying zip ties in the Senate. He was arrested after his ex-wife saw the photos and called the FBI. And then there's Riley June Williams. She broke into Nancy Pelosi's office and is alleged to have stolen a laptop that she is further alleged to have tried to sell to the Russians. Riley was spotted on a video by an ex-boyfriend who called the FBI. If your exes are rushing to turn your ass in to the FBI, if they beat your coworkers and appalled family members to the punch, I'm guessing you were just as shitty a partner as you are a patriot. There are also some shitty parents in D.C. Helena Duke is a teenager whose family threw her out for being a lesbian and a liberal. Helena spotted her mom and her aunt and her uncle in a viral video of a crowd of Trump supporters assaulting a black security guard the night before the riots. And Helena ID'd her Trump-supporting family members to the media, and mom lost her job. And then there are the too bad, so sad stories, like Ashley Babbitt. She was, the woman who died after getting shot trying to break into the House chamber. She appears to have been leading the mob hunting for Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi. And according to New York Magazine, which did a deep dive into Babbitt's life, her family didn't realize how far she'd gone, even though she had Trump and QAnon flags flying outside her house, and her car was covered with Trump bumper stickers, and she had a Blue Lives Matter flag on her car, too. Blue Lives Matter, terms and conditions apply. Anyway, the most unexpected detail about Babbitt's life is that she was in a poly triad. She and her husband have a live-in mutual girlfriend, according to New York Magazine. A lot of people associate open or poly relationships with liberal and progressive politics. It ain't necessarily so. You meet a lot of Republicans in the organized swinging scene, and a lot of wannabe cucks are conservative men. Jerry Falwell Jr. is not the only one. So I wasn't shocked to learn that at least one of the Trump rioters out there was poly. Also in the too bad, so sad category, Roseanne Boyland, a woman who stormed the Capitol building carrying a Don't Tread on Me flag and appears to have been, sadly, but ironically, trampled to death by the crowd of Trump supporters trying to force their way into the Capitol building to kill our elected representatives. You could say Boyland's fellow rioters took her Don't Tread on Me flag seriously, but not literally. And finally, and this one's my personal favorite, there's the sad, sad, bitterly ironic story of Kevin Greeson. He was one of the old white out-of-shape rioters who charged up Pennsylvania Avenue, 1.6 miles from the Ellipse to the Capitol building, on Trump's orders. He had a taser tucked in his pants, a taser he presumably planned to use on someone. But at some point during the riot, the taser in Greeson's pants went off, and that's how he accidentally and repeatedly wound up tasing himself in the balls, which caused him to have a heart attack, which killed him. Very too bad, very too sad. And yes, I know it didn't happen, probably. Snopes, the fact-checking website, says it didn't happen. Greeson died at the Capitol after joining the riot. That happened. He was part of the mob that beat one cop to death and injured 50 others. Blue Lives Matter, terms and conditions apply. But Snopes talked to Greeson's wife, and she insists he didn't tase himself in the balls. And so Snopes says that didn't happen. Well, as Joseph K. said on Twitter, if you ever find yourself explaining to Snopes that your husband definitely didn't die tasering himself in the balls, you've already lost control of the narrative. And I hate to go full Baltaze truther here, but Greeson's wife wasn't in D.C. All she knows is that he died of a heart attack storming the Capitol. She doesn't know what happened to his balls right before the heart attack. And she's his wife. She would deny it. Even if it was true, she would deny it. And it almost certainly, definitely, probably is true. I mean, if I died accidentally and repeatedly tasing my own balls, I would hope my husband would have the decency to deny it to Snopes. And come on. With all the straight-up bullshit Trumpers believe, with all the harmful things they allow themselves to believe, from climate change is a hoax to COVID-19 is a hoax, I think we're allowed this one harmless thing. If they can believe Hillary Clinton runs a child sex trafficking ring out of the basement of a pizza parlor located in a building in Washington, D.C. that has no basement, if they can believe Tom Hanks is a cannibal, not just Armie Hammer, Tom Hanks too, and that Donald Trump is still going to be president the day after tomorrow, and that Ivanka Trump is going to be a U.S. senator one day, why can't we have this guy's balls? So, while I am willing to concede the possibility that it might be true that Kevin Greeson didn't die of a heart attack after accidentally tasing himself in the balls, I have to say, millions of hardworking, taxpaying Americans believe Greeson died of a heart attack after tasing himself in the balls, and our voices will not be silenced. All right, my fellow ball-tased truthers, coming up on today's show on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, Diana Adams comes back on the show. She's a lawyer and mediator who specializes in LGBTQ and polyamorous families. We talk the ins and outs, the legalities of known donor sperm donation, and tackle a couple of other poly questions on the magnum. All that coming up on today's show. Have you heard about Eva? It's a vibrator for couples that provides hands-free clitoral stimulation in a small, powerful package. And it's made by Dame Products, a woman-founded company making the world a better place one vulva at a time. Visit dameproducts.com/savage to learn more.
This episode of The Lovecast is brought to you by the good folks at Squarespace. They make it easy to build a beautiful website, blog, or online store. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This episode is brought to you by Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that your butt will love and everyone who loves your butt will love too. Visit www.hellotushy.com for 10% off your entire order when you use the promo code SAVAGE. Stop wiping and start washing.
Hi, Dan Savage and the tech savvy at risk youth. I'm calling in with a quarantine sex success story. Well, kinda. So, I haven't been able to get laid since the beginning of quarantine. I've been very good in staying inside, but this is the longest I've ever gone without anything sexual that wasn't with myself. So, I've been very pent up. I feel like a 13-year-old boy. And the other day, my completely platonic friend asked if I wanted to go on a motorcycle ride. And when we were on it, it felt so good. And I wanted to come so bad, but, you know, he's a platonic friend and I wanted to be respectful. But after an hour ride, we get to the store and I can't help myself. I tell him, like, I want to come on your bike so bad. And being the good friend that he is, he was like, I don't care. As long as you don't squirt on my back because it's cold and I don't want to get wet. Which I thought I could agree to. And I was actually worried, but I was able to control myself. But I came 9 times. And it was the strongest orgasms that I think maybe I've ever had. So, thank you, Jason. I know you listen to the podcast. And, you really are a great friend.
This one goes out to you, Jason.
Thank you for being a friend.
All right, we like to start the show with a success story every week, something that worked before we get to what isn't working. If you've got a success story for us that you'd like us to start next week's show with, maybe send it in.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the Tech Savvy At-Risk Youth. I'm calling with an ethical question. I have an opportunity to kind of jump the line, as it were, and get vaccinated early. I was in the Moderna clinical trial, and so there's a chance that I already got it. And I've gotten some input from a few friends of mine. They all say that I should go and get it since I have the opportunity. But I kind of have this nagging feeling that if I get it, that means a nurse or a long-term care worker or, you know, a senior is going to have to wait a day. And, you know, in that day where they're still developing antibodies, you know, they might be exposed and get sick. So, you know, I don't know what the odds of that are. I'm not even sure if someone will have to wait, but, you know, I'm just considering whether or not in general it's ethical for me, healthy 37-year-old who works from home, to get a vaccine when there are still healthcare workers and there are still seniors who are waiting on it.
You were in a clinical trial. You were a COVID-19 lab rat. You are one of the reasons that we have the vaccine, because people like you stepped up and volunteered to be a part of these clinical trials and the development of the Moderna vaccine and the other vaccines. You earned that vaccination. It's good that you're being thoughtful about it, but you're not jumping a line. You earned that vaccination. And we are reading so many news stories about vaccines spoiling on the shelf, not having to be thrown away, having to be discarded, because the people that they've been offered to, sometimes healthcare workers and frontline healthcare workers, for some reason aren't availing themselves of the vaccine. So I wouldn't hesitate, if a vaccine has been offered to you legitimately, to get the vaccination, particularly in your case. Again, you earned it. Thank you so much for stepping up, for volunteering to be a part of these clinical trials. Now go get your ass vaccinated. They're probably, because of the insane way that vaccine distribution is being done right now, they're probably holding back the vaccine that was earmarked for you so that you can come in and get it. Don't let the vaccine that was set aside for you spoil on a shelf while you sit at home wringing your hands, waiting to hear from me or waiting to hear from my listeners, which would mean another week would go by. No. Go get vaccinated right now. Anyone that is offered the vaccine through legitimate channels, isn't jumping a line, should immediately get vaccinated. The more people who are vaccinated and the faster, greater numbers of people are vaccinated, the quicker we're going to be through this, the safer we're all going to be. Please, please, thank you for your service. Thank you for being a volunteer. Now go get your ass vaccinated immediately. As we've discussed on the show before, new ideas in the bedroom can add flavor to what you already enjoy. And way back in 2014, a two-woman startup called Dame Products broke the internet with a new idea of their own. They invented Eva, a vibrator for couples that provides hands-free clitoral stimulation. Eva's crowdfunding campaign made $575,000, making it the most crowdfunded sex toy in history. 5 years later, Dame Products is on the front lines of sexual wellness with 4 vibrators, a sex pillow, all-natural lube, and much more to come. Founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz, Dame develops bedroom solutions with the help of real humans and couples like you. They're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. If you order by February 6th, you can get Eva in time for Valentine's Day using free shipping. Just visit dameproducts.com/savage for 15% off an Eva of your own.
Hi, Dan. I'm an almost 25-year-old cis-hetero woman living in a mountain state in the West. I've recently been seeing this guy, and it's been really magical and romantic, and it's such a sweet, bright light in the midst of a pandemic to have him come over at night and get lost in each other's eyes and minds and bodies. I feel like I always sabotage relationships when they get to this point for a few reasons. So, and here's one of them. When I was in college, I had a really bad eating disorder, which, along with issues with sex and men and body image, gave me a weak heart. I get kind of winded when just walking uphill or on hikes. And basically, I'm just really freaked out about going on hikes or doing adventure shit with people, since I'm afraid they'll think I'm out of shape, which sucks because I also live in the fittest, most adventure-y town in the country. I've got a hot athletic body, so I don't look out of shape. But yeah, I definitely can't run as far as a normal person, and I kind of like to stop on hikes. My current plan is to just avoid ever letting this person see me winded or do anything active with them for fear of judgment. But in the end, that would make me seem weird in itself, probably. And I value honesty as well. I'm so stressed about this, and I don't want to mess this one up because I really, really like this person. So I'd appreciate any advice from you or your listeners.
Here's what I think you should do. If you really, really like this person, you should give him the opportunity to demonstrate to you whether he's worthy of your affections. And the way you do that is by being honest with him about your weak heart, about the fact that you get winded easily, and about why. I don't think you should disclose these things, these deeply personal things, to him immediately or anytime soon. You're not under obligation to disclose your history of eating disorders to a relatively new partner before you've ascertained whether he's someone that you can be that vulnerable with. But at some point, you should tell him. And you need to do that thing that I tell young queer kids to do, which is to not fear your parents' rejection once you're in a safe place and it's safe to come out to them. Not fear your parents' rejection. Make your parents fear yours. Right now, you fear disclosing this to him, sharing this painful stuff from your past with him because you worry he might reject you, because you worry he might judge you. You need to flip that on its head. So when you're ready to tell him, when you tell him this, you're telling him one thing about you, his reaction is telling you everything you need to know about him, including whether your early feelings that he was somebody you could see yourself spending your life with were accurate or not, whether that hunch, that romantic and sexual hunch, was correct. And if it wasn't, if he reacts uncharitably, if he shames or judges you, he's not who you thought he was. He's somebody you thought you might really, really like. And in that moment, he's demonstrated to you that he isn't somebody that you can really, really like and isn't someone that deserves you. People ask me all the time, like, at what point, at what date, how long should I have been dating? How many dates should I go on before I tell somebody this? You tell them when you're ready to. You tell them when you're comfortable telling them. You might have to tell him something about being easily winded before you get to that point, before you arrive at that point where you feel that it's right to tell him, you feel comfortable telling him. And right now you can just tell him, I am easily winded. I have a weak heart because of a health challenge in my past. And that's something I want to talk about right now. It was painful. You don't even have to get that detailed. You just tell him I get easily winded. So I can't go hiking. I can't go on long, arduous hikes without a lot of breaks. And then if he wants to go hiking with you, you might have to plan a different kind of hike than you normally go on in the athletic part of the country where you live. So right now, you sound really stressed out because you fear telling him this. You also probably fear what to tell him if he invites you on a fucking hike. What do you tell him? You tell him the bare minimum. And at this stage of the relationship, you aren't obligated to share more than the bare minimum. I get easily winded. If you want to go on a crazy hike, go with friends, come home, tell me about it. If you want to go on a hike with me, let's plan something simple, something flat, and something short, because that's the only kind of hike I can go on. Instead of that first disclosure, I get easily winded, your first test, his first test, not yours, his, whether he deserves you or not. And then 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the road, when you are ready to share with him that you had an eating disorder and damaged your heart and that is why you are easily winded, that's when you share that with him. And go into that conversation, that disclosure, not fearing his rejection. Go into that conversation, that disclosure, ready to end things. If you don't get the reaction from him that you deserve, and based on everything you know about him so far, you should expect, which is a loving, compassionate, understanding reaction. If you get anything else, if you get the opposite, reject him, end the relationship. He doesn't deserve you.
This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Squarespace. Whether you need a landing page, a beautiful gallery, a professional blog, or an online store, it's all there for you at Squarespace. Creating your site with Squarespace is a simple, intuitive process. Do you run your own business? You can design a great-looking online store with Squarespace's award-winning templates, customizable settings, and more, all without a single plugin. From nationally recognized brands to your favorite local shops, Squarespace is trusted by hundreds of thousands of savvy shop owners around the world, including all the tools you need to track inventory, process orders, and send custom emails in one intuitive interface. Squarespace's e-commerce allows you to understand every aspect of your business. If you need a website for more artistic pursuits, Squarespace has beautiful, easy-to-use templates that you can drag and drop with the greatest of ease. And if you need help, they have 24/7 customer support. So chill. Head on over to squarespace.com/savage for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SAVAGE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/savage and use the offer code SAVAGE.
Hey, Dan, Nancy, and the Tech Savvy at Risk Youth. I met this girl recently at a festival and we began sleeping together. I'm lucky enough to be in New Zealand where there are no COVID restrictions as the government's managed to eliminate COVID, hence able to go to festivals legally. Things are going well. We liked each other. Got on pretty well. But we were having a conversation the other day, and she brought up a couple of things. Firstly, that she was bi, which is totally fine with me. But secondly, she wouldn't date a guy who was bi himself, which was a bit of a red flag. And then also wouldn't date guys that sleep with trans girls that haven't had confirmation surgery, but would sleep with guys that had slept with trans women who had had surgery, because, quote, women, trans women who had surgery were women, those who hadn't weren't, which for me prompted the thoughts of and the expression of that's transphobic, and we had a bit of an argument. I basically said that she should go and read up about it to challenge that assumption. We spoke again a couple days later, and she mentioned she'd spoken with a number of people who all just told her that it was a preference for her not to want to sleep with trans or guys that had slept with trans women who hadn't had surgery. Firstly, is she gaslighting me? And secondly, do I invest more time in to try and talk about this? In my mind, her views is incredibly transphobic. In fact, the fact that she wouldn't sleep with bi guys is also, I think, homophobic as well, and serves to create an issue because a lot of guys that are bi but lean slightly towards women more will like repress that if that's the prevailing culture of a country. So what do you think I do here? Do I cut it? Or is there a way that I can bring this up where she can maybe like think about it a bit more?
First, jealous that you're in New Zealand, jealous that you have competent leadership there and that you guys have managed to corner the virus and return to normal life. Hopefully the rest of the world will be somewhat close to where New Zealand is now in a year or less, hopefully not more. About this woman, she's not your job. You know, it is really odd when you meet women who are out about being bi themselves who will not date or sleep with guys who are openly bisexual. They might wind up sleeping with guys who tell them they're straight because that's what they want to hear, or because they're afraid of rejection because other women, even other bi women, have rejected them when they've come out to them as bi. And that's a big problem for a lot of bi guys. There have been a lot of studies that have found worse mental health outcomes for bisexual men as a result of having to be closeted all their lives to hide their bisexuality from their partners. Sometimes these guys don't come into a full awareness of their bisexuality until after they've made a presumably lifelong commitment to an opposite sex partner. But sometimes bi guys who've tried to be out have been rejected so often that what they take away from those rejections is don't be out, don't take that risk. What you should take away from that rejection by guys is that person didn't deserve you and wasn't the right partner for you. And again, those studies about mental health outcomes for bi guys find that the biggest contributing factor to poor mental health outcomes, high stress, suicidal ideation, is being partnered with someone who rejects you for being bisexual. Someone who knows you're bi and hates that about you, or someone you know would hate it about you so you never can come out to. So guys, bi guys, when you tell some woman that you're bi and she has a problem with that, you should have a much bigger problem with her and you should get the fuck away from her. And that would be my advice for you here, New Zealand caller. Get the fuck away from this woman. Even setting aside the transphobia, the biphobia itself is disqualifying. And her thing with trans people seems less about the transness and more about people who have penises touching other people who have penises. That seems to be her big phobia. You hear a lot in swingerland and open relationship opposite sex couple land about the one penis rule. She seems to have a one penis rule herself. Not that she'll only touch one penis, because she can presumably sleep with more than one guy at a time or more than one guy at once, so long as they don't come anywhere near each other. But she doesn't want any of the people with penises that she's having sex with, the men that she's having sex with penises, to touch anybody else who currently has a penis. Sometimes people who have a preference around sex, around male-female partners, around male-female genitalia, will be accused of having a fetish about genitals. I don't think that's accurate. I think somebody can have a legitimate sexual orientation and be a homosexual, just like somebody can be pan or bisexual or straight. But this woman's issue seems to fall under the heading of irrational phobia. She's not just expressing herself about who she's comfortable sleeping with, who she's attracted to in a constructive way that doesn't judge or shame other people. She wants to control the sexual activities of the people that she has slept with to, I don't know, some third or fourth degree. She won't sleep with a guy who slept with a trans woman who didn't get bottom surgery. What if she slept with a guy who slept with a trans woman who got bottom surgery, who slept with a trans woman who hadn't had bottoms? At what point is a guy too tainted by his association to some other dick to lose out on the spectacular opportunity to crawl into bed with this woman? Who knows? I don't think you should stick around long enough to find out. She's not worth it. And you are in New Zealand, not under lockdown. So she's not your only option. You can say something to her about it if you want to on your way out. I don't think it's really going to make much of a difference. And New Zealand's a small country, so maybe you'll run into her again. You might want to factor that in before you decide whether to blow up at her prior to deleting and blocking her phone number. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Tushy, the super smart bidet attachment. The future of toileting. The future of your toilet has arrived. Okay, technically this has been around for centuries, bidets, but always hideously expensive, costing thousands and taking up extra space in your bathroom. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field and make bidets available to all. It's stylish, it's eco-friendly, it's easy to install, it's affordable, and it'll keep your butt clean. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself before and after it's used with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle. And the whole thing attaches to your toilet. It requires no electricity or additional plumbing and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in just a few months, because with Hello Tushy, you don't have to wipe at all. Just poop, spray, dry, and go. And sanitation is simple. The Schmutz Shield offers easy cleaning, and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. Already got a tush on your pot? Upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you're new to the revolution, join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers, including me, right now, and have a clean butt after every flush. It's easy, it's inexpensive, it saves you money on toilet paper, it keeps you cleaner, always ready to go, and it's better for the environment. What more convincing do you need? Go to hellotushy.com/savage to get 10% off your order and free shipping. Let them know the Lovecast sent you by going to hellotushy.com/savage for 10% off and free shipping today.
Hey, Dan. So I'm a 44-year-old hetero white male. The problem I'm having is I've started dating a woman that's 14 years younger than me, and I really like her, you know, everything's great, but our sex drive is completely different. She would like to have sex pretty much every night, and I'm kind of a once-a-month guy. A lot of that has to do with my antidepressants and my bipolar meds. I mean, I enjoy sex. I like to have it, but at the same time, my drive is not nearly going to be what hers was. Before I was on the meds, I would definitely have sex way more often and usually self-medicated by having dangerous sex that I shouldn't have had. So I'm trying to figure out a good way to explain to her what the deal is without causing problems. And I know I can go to my doctor and get everything adjusted and try for the best. but I also know this works for me now. I don't like the person I am when I'm not on my meds. I don't like how it affects me. My depression becomes terrible. My mania becomes even worse. I like this woman. I don't want to mess this relationship up. But at the same time, this might be a real issue. Sex is great when we have it. It's just, you know, you want it when you want it.
So you haven't told the woman that you've only recently begun seeing that you are on meds for depression and bipolar disorder? Or does she know?
I have. She knows. I've definitely told her. I just think, like, when we first started, you know, the excitement, the adventure, and everything like that. And now that we've been together for a while, you know, the bipolar meds are kicking in, and I just don't want to have sex as much as they do.
And is that a problem for her? Does she feel frustrated and rejected? Is it something that she said you two are going to have to work on, or that's going to have to change for her to stay in the relationship?
She's been frustrated. She hasn't said we have to work on it to change our relationship. It's just one of those things where this has been an issue in the past,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to figure out how to avoid it becoming an issue in the future, because I've always felt like I've communicated this pretty well, but maybe, you know, people hear what they want to hear.
You listen to the show, right? You wouldn't be calling into my show if you didn't listen to my show.
I love your show, yes.
Okay, well, thanks. Not fishing for compliments, but a mixed matched libido, somebody with a high libido, somebody with a very low libido, that's a sort of baseline disqualifying example of sexual incompatibility, unless there is an accommodation or a workaround that both parties find acceptable. Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
sometimes
I know.
When there's somebody who's a once a week person with a three times a week person, you know, the person who's less, has a lower libido, kind of ramping it up a little bit can work. But an everyday person with a once a month person, that's an engine of that's going to drive a lot of conflict in the future as resentment and frustration for the lower libido part, or, you know, as the resentment and frustration of the higher libido partner grows, as I'm sure you've heard us talk about in the show endlessly. And the only accommodation that I think really works when you've got a once a month with a once a day person is an open relationship.
She's not interested in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do have an appointment with my doctor later on this month. I was thinking about asking about trying to mix it up a little bit, at least trying. I can do once a week. It's not ideal, but I can do it. You know, obviously I enjoy it. It's just not my goal, but I feel like if I can get there normally,
you know,
it could help.
You say that your depression was severe, and you say that when you were in the grip of your bipolar disorder, that your mania was very destructive. You want to be extremely careful about your mental health and about the medications. You know, obviously you're going to talk to a doctor before you try different medications, but to find the meds that work for you and to land on those, you know, sometimes sacrificing some of your libido for your sanity is rational and the right thing to do. And so I want you to proceed very carefully if you're going to adjust your meds to try to ramp up your libido. If you can make it to once a week, how do you feel about assisted masturbation? How does she feel about assisted masturbation as opposed to full sex? You know, sometimes the low libido partner, you know, helps out, you know, does what they can do in the moment while their higher libido partner basically masturbates, and they're there to make it a little hotter, maybe a little bit more intimate, but not a tremendous amount of physical demand or expectations being placed on the lower libido partner in that moment. That can work if the higher libido partner is satisfied with the assist as opposed to full engagement and sex.
We've done that, definitely. She's been very accommodating, honestly. I think a lot of it has to do with my feelings of guilt and not wanting to fuck the relationship up. Also on top of it, it's never any cycle, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel guilty because you can't do it, so then you try to overcompensate. And so maybe I'm right now jumping 8 steps ahead. Maybe this is something that will naturally work itself out as the relationship progresses, or maybe it won't, and I'm going to have to swallow that pill sooner than rather than later and just accept it. It's just one of those, I want to make sure I'm being as crystal clear to them at the beginning so they understand,
mm-hmm.
versus they feel like I'm lying to them down the road.
Right.
And that's part of the reason I called you was,
yeah.
I don't want to be accused of being a liar in this situation.
Right. The working itself out in the end, that means it has any hope of working itself out, you're going to have to talk it out. You have to negotiate. You're going to have to really be open and transparent with this person about your low libido and the likelihood of it remaining low, particularly compared to hers. Now, there are plenty of other potential partners out there in the world who are once a monthers or once a weekers, right? That's why
yes.
we get calls from people with higher libidos complaining, or, you know, expressing their frustration, not complaining so much, like they want to try to make it work. And that's why they call me to try to figure out how to make it work. But, you know, who are in a relationship like yours, but from the other side. So you have other potential partners out there if this relationship doesn't work out who might be a better match for you libido-wise. And sexual compatibility is important. And I get in trouble sometimes. People get angry at me sometimes for saying you have to prioritize sexual compatibility, but it has to be prioritized, particularly in a sexually exclusive relationship. If you're the only person that she can turn to for sex, and she's the only person that you can turn to for sex, sex has got to work. That doesn't mean it work perfectly, because no sexual relationship is perfect and nobody gets everything they want out of one sex partner. People don't get everything they want out of three sex partners. People who are poly and have more than one partner also don't get everything they want. But you guys got to get closer and then get to a place where you've both paid the price of admission. Maybe you're being a little more sexual than you would be otherwise. Hopefully not more sexual than you're comfortable being. And she's getting less sex than she would like. Some assisted masturbation folded into your sex life. More solo sex time by herself that she's not resentful of you about. Then it might work. And who knows? If you can make it work in the short run, most people in open relationships were closed for a very long time. So the fact that she's opposed or you're opposed, maybe both of you are opposed right now to openness as an accommodation that would allow you two to remain together now, doesn't mean that that isn't something that you could talk about at least 3 or 4 years down the road if you stay together and everything else is working and this still isn't.
All right. You've given me a lot to think about.
Okay. Good luck to you.
And, all right, thank you very much.
And I wish you the best, however this plays out.
All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 37-year-old gay male living in the Midwest and have a sort of unusual kink. So my kink is that I'd love to have an erotic pen pal. Oftentimes when I'm on an app or, you know, meeting someone online, I get a really big kick, it really gets me off to find out about their history or find out about, you know, their jerking off habits or finding out, you know, about what they like to jerk off to. You know, I like sort of getting into their head a bit more so, and love being asked. The same, sometimes more so than actually the prospect of meeting the person. And so, you know, I've done a lot of research, tried to find out, you know, if there's sites devoted exclusively to erotic pen pals, and a lot of the sites that I've found actually restrict, you know, that kind of content. And so, you know, I really do get off to being asked invasive questions, being, you know, grilled about my sexual history, my masturbation habits, what time I do things, you know, that really gets me going. And I'd love to find other people who are into the same thing. So short of putting a personal ad in a newspaper no one will ever read, I was hoping you could give me a little bit of insight as to this and maybe some suggestions.
That thing you're looking for, I've kind of stumbled into. I have a couple of dirty pen pals myself, guys I've never met that I now actually, after chit-chatting with them about our sex lives for a long time, consider friends. And I found them, or they found me, on Instagram, on social media. I hope I'm not declaring open season on myself here. I'm sort of tapped out for the sexual pen pal friends, so please don't come at me now. I have no more bandwidth available for sex pen pals, because I've already got a few. But those relationships just sort of grew naturally out of chit-chatting and getting to know each other and sharing. If you want to start more explicitly, you should take a look at Reddit. There are tons of sexually explicit subreddits, and if you look around on sexually explicit subreddits, you will find a lot of people posting about what they were looking for, but also taking their correspondence with people that they meet on Reddit to direct messages and then to WhatsApp or their phone numbers, exchanging phone numbers through DMs and finding whether or not they call them that, sexual pen pals that way. So you want what I got? You want what other people are getting? Put yourself out there a little bit on Instagram. Put yourself out there a little bit more explicitly about what you want, what you're looking for on Reddit. That would be my advice. All right, before we get to your calls, let's read your tweets. Michael Raymond tweets, the person dating the guy is 17 years her senior in episode 741 inadvertently came up with a new term for friends with benefits when she pronounced platonic as playtonic. Tom Lebo tweets, I'm glad to see the intersectionality on this week's Savage Lovecast. This podcast has totally opened my eyes and made me a less judgmental person over the past few years. I'm guessing this is a reference to my conversation last week about cuckolding and race with Michael C. from the excellent Keys and Anklets podcast. And while I rarely use the term intersectionality on the show, I like to think we managed to do intersectionality around here. So thank you for noticing, Tom. And finally, Mary Ann Ryan, WDC, tweets, Dan, please help me understand those who believe the pandemic is a hoax. Listen to today's podcast, and I can't remotely get into the mindset that allows this thinking. Do they think the entire planet is in on some scam? Marianne, they do. Some are just deranged conspiracy theorists, but a lot of them are just your run-of-the-mill conservatives. How many stories have we read over the last 9 months about people, always conservatives, who dismissed COVID-19 as a hoax, and because they weren't wearing masks or physically distancing, they caught it, and then they go crying to People Magazine or the Washington Post. Now that I'm sick, I killed my mom. I know it's real. Don't make the same mistake I did. Conservatives, man, no moral imagination, no empathy. We see it again and again. Your kid is gay? Fuck your kid. My kid is gay? Now I support marriage equality. You have a drug problem? Go to jail. Fuck you. I have a drug problem? Treatment, not incarceration. You have COVID-19? It's a hoax. I have COVID-19? People need to take this health crisis seriously. You tased your balls? Tasers are a hoax. I tased my balls? I die of a heart attack. Ugh, it is endlessly frustrating. All right, if you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to use the hashtag #SavageLovecast. And now your response calls.
Hi, Dan. I just want to echo your frustration with people who don't believe anything until it happens to them or someone they know. And I'm especially infuriated because I just recovered from COVID-19. And before that, I was one of those people who was always begging people to wear their masks, wash and sanitize their hands, and distance themselves. And I was doing all these things. I even had to beg management to make hand sanitizers available. And they made one cheap bottle of hand sanitizer available at reception. And then when it finished after 2 days, they refused to replace it because there was no money in the budget. It was only after I went to a work assignment where no one was wearing their masks and contracted COVID that all of a sudden there was money in the budget for a state-of-the-art disinfectant booth to be installed where everyone has to walk through it before they enter the building. Masks are now made mandatory at all times, and there are at least 3 bottles of expensive hand sanitizer in every room in the building. Also, side note, you won't imagine the number of idiots in my social circle who called me when I was isolating and tried to convince me that this was a government hoax. And I was like, do you literally not hear me struggling for breath as I speak to you right now? It was maddening. Anyway, I say all that to say that there are idiots everywhere, and this pandemic has helped to reveal some of them. There are people legit dying, and these people think this is a hoax. So my advice to everyone is feel free to cut these people out of your life, and if you can afford it, quit your job if you're being put at risk. Your life isn't worth it. That's what I'm in the process of doing right now.
Hi, Dan. This is a call regarding the woman in last week's show who was interested in edge play, knife play, and gun play. As a gun-toting progressive liberal, I have to be really cautious about this. Do not ever use a real gun. You should always treat a firearm as if it is loaded at all times. You have some other options for realistic-looking fake guns, things like airsoft guns, prop guns for movies, and the like, but do not ever use a real firearm in sex. Please be careful and be sane.
Hi, Dan. I'm the woman from episode 740 who was wondering if she should break up with her partner who had alcoholism. I wanted to let you know that when you characterized his lying and gaslighting behavior as emotional abuse, it really changed my perspective on everything, and it gave me the small push I needed to get out of that toxic relationship. In the time between my call and your on-air response, it came to light that he stole his ex's stimulus check, an ex who is a nurse and who probably needs that money more than most people right now. That was the nail in the coffin in a relationship filled with lies and risky and illegal behavior. Doing a breakup in quarantine isn't ideal, and surely pandemic loneliness will kick in any day now. But I can spend my time alone, knowing that I'm not spending any more time on a relationship that was really bad for me. So, thank you. And a special thank you to the response caller who said she recently left her partner and was really happy. Your joy made me tear up, and I hope I can find that joy soon, too.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for me or a comment about this week's show? There are two ways to get them to us. You can call us at 206-302-2064 and leave a message, or you can use the Voice Memo app on your phone to record your question or comment and email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. My Dirty Little Film Festival Hump 2021 is right around the corner. This year, there are a variety of viewing parties to join. We will be streaming, including one with hump filmmakers, an all-nude viewing party for people who like to do things nude, and one with me, a viewing party with me on opening night, January 30th. That will be a fully clothed viewing party. Thank you very much. Go to humpfilmfest.com to watch the trailer, read all about the amazing new lineup of hump films, and grab your tickets. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Follow Diana Adams on Twitter at @DianaAdamsESQ. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Bertunian and me and the tech savvy at Risk Youth and Nancy. We'll all be back at you next week for an installment of the Savage Lovecast. And next week, we will have a new president. Whatever you do between now and then, don't tase your balls.